Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have to tell you, Halloween hasn't always been my favorite holiday. It's kind of an okay holiday. When the kids were little, it was super cute getting costumes together. Now their costumes are super complicated and they come up with things I don't understand. I think Kylie switched her costume 4 times on Halloween throughout the day, and I don't know that I fully understood any of the metaphors that she was going for. But there's the costume part, and then there's been the kind of sitting at home, and I somehow keep ending up in places where there's not a lot of trick-or-treaters. And so Halloween's kind of been, okay. Until a couple of years ago when we decided, hey, you know what? We've heard rumor that there's like 200 or 300 trick-or-treaters that trick-or-treat this neighborhood where the church is. And we said, wow, if there's like 200 or 300 trick-or-treaters passing the church, maybe this is an opportunity to be present with the community. And so 2 years ago, Becky and I baked up a bunch of cookies, and we made sure we had a huge bucket of candy, and we were ready to set up outside the church. And as we're setting up, what comes rolling in but the come in, and they were going to send the kids trick-or-treating, and they said, what you doing? And we told them what we were doing, and they said, hey, we'll help. And we pulled out the cornhole so kids could toss bean bags for candy, and we got the baked goods set up and got coffee and hot chocolate and ready, and all of a sudden, here comes the people. And we had the best night interacting with people and giving away baked goods. And my goodness, John and Wednesday, like, they should be carnies in a carnival by how well they interact with the kids and getting them excited about tossing bean bags and having to earn their candy at Torrance First. But here we were again on Thursday night, and this year the family joined us, and so we had 9 adults that were hanging out at church, interacting with the community, and 10 kids that went off trick-or-treating, and we just had the best time. I got to tell you, we went through like 20 dozen cookies. We went through like 500 cups. We went through what felt like 1 million napkins. We actually went through 10 gallons of water, of twice having to put the 5-gallon thing up on the water dispenser. And we gave away over 250 Ziploc bags of goodies and prizes to kids. And people would come up, and at first, a lot of times they're super skeptical. They see a table of goodies in front of the church and they assume it's a bake sale and they gotta buy stuff, right? Because, you know, churches always have their hand out looking for money, it feels like. And nothing's ever free in this world, right? And then they learn it's free and people get so excited and they can't understand why we're giving away free goodies and water and coffee and why we would do this. And we tell them over and over again that we just want to be kind to the people who are our neighbors and to show them God's love, that we just appreciate that these parents are spending a couple hours walking their kids around the neighborhood so their kids can get candy and wanting to give something to the parents. And we essentially just tell them, you know, we just want to be nice. And anybody that comes up, any kids, no matter what age, can play the games and get candy. No matter who comes up to the table or how many times they've been there before, we've got something to give them. And to me, Halloween has transformed from costumes and a trickle of trick-or-treaters to really an opportunity to show God's love to people in our community and to show that God's love is for anyone and everybody that comes this way. Oh yeah, and also super important, we offer a bathroom stop along the way of the route of trick-or-treating. But it's this really cool opportunity. And then here I am from Halloween, getting ready for today. And I happened to tell Claudia recently that sometimes in worship, I feel like the ringleader of a 3-ring circus with what's happening in worship and sometimes how much is happening in worship. And here we have worship this morning where we have a baptism, and then we're going to be doing communion, and we've also got All Saints. And I'm setting up for this, and I'm looking at this, and at first it's like, how does this all go together? How does this work? How does this not seem like this conjointed, wacky service with all of these heavy, important elements? And when you realize it and you look at it, what is this but the complete picture of God's grace for us? God's grace that begins in our baptism when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we receive the Holy Spirit and join Christ's family, when we're washed by the water, washed of our sins and our humanity, and when we are clothed in Christ. Something that happens that cannot be undone, cannot be redone, but is a gift of God that lasts us our whole life through. A covenant that begins with God. A covenant that began today with precious, sweet little Harlow. Something that's happened for each one of us. If it hasn't happened for you, I invite you to come meet with me. And let's talk about baptism, because I would love to invite you into the family of Christ. I would love to invite you to be baptized and receive this gift as well. But that's just the beginning, right? Because then we have this gift of communion that happens our whole life through. Communion that is God's grace with a covenant that's renewed every time we take it. And you know, this week there was a news article that came out, and it was talking about Joe Biden. I promise I won't get political. But Joe Biden apparently is a lifelong devout Catholic. And Joe Biden was visiting South Carolina last Sunday. And he went up for communion at the communion time. And as a member of the Catholic Church, he has that right. And I don't know if you read the story, but when Joe Biden came up, the priest denied him communion and said that his political agenda was not in line with God's and the Catholic Church, and declared Joe Biden unworthy of receiving God's communion. You got a reaction a bit like mine. Rejected of God's grace. God's grace that says you can't do it for yourself. God's grace that says, worthy or unworthy, I give it to you because I am God and I love you that much. When I read this article, it made me fall in love even more with being United Methodist. Because I don't know if you know United Methodist theology and practice, but we practice a completely open communion table. What does that mean? That means that I have vowed that if I offer communion, I will only offer it if it is offered to everyone present. That I don't have the ability to pick and choose who receives it. I don't have the ability to decide who's worthy of God's grace and who isn't. That I must absolutely offer it to everyone, because grace is between you and God and not between me and you. This is the gift of God's grace that is open and offered to all. That to receive grace, all you have to do is accept it and accept where it comes from. In this passage, we hear it from Jesus, that Jesus says, I have been sent to do the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but to raise them up. Jesus says, my job is to not lose any of you. Jesus came with an invitation for all. Jesus came for a desire to receive all into his love and into his grace, and to be able to escort all into God's house when this life finishes. An invitation for all. It makes me think about kids when they start collecting baseball cards or Pokemon cards or little figurines. Because what do they want? They want all of them, right? You start collecting, your goal and your wish is that you could have the whole collection, right? Every Pokemon card in existence, every little pop figurine that there is, every My Little Pony, every Barbie doll, every G.I. Joe, right? That would be the ultimate dream, to collect every single one of them. to see the collection and know that it is complete, that there are none others that I can get, because I have them all. And this childlike desire is the same desire of God, that God desires to have every single one of us, every life that he has created. He desires to wash with his grace, to renew his covenant over and over again through communion, to say that Jesus' body and blood was sacrificed for you so that you could receive grace through God's love on the cross. And what does Jesus say? And at the end, to raise every single one up. Are all saints candles that remind us of the ultimate aspect of grace? That when this life ends, that it is not the end, but that we are risen up with Christ, that we spend an eternity with God, that we become a light like these that will never be put out, but will last for eternity. A grace that says this life is just the beginning. From the beginning to the middle to the end is all about God's grace, an unearned, undeserved gift of God bestowed upon us. And so today we give thanks, we honor, and we celebrate God's grace. We receive of God's love, and we give thanks for each of these tangible elements that remind us of it. That when we feel that bread in our fingers, when we taste that juice upon our lips, when we light the candles and see their flicker, they are a reminder for us to touch, taste, and see of God's grace. An opportunity for us to give thanks, an opportunity to renew our covenant, to speak once again our faith in God and our love for Jesus Christ. That is what we do today. That is what makes this day so special in each and every element. That Jesus will gain all, and that all will gain life through him. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for your love and grace. Love and grace that could not be quantified. Love and grace that sometimes is hard to even put into words. We give you thanks for the opportunities to see, to taste, and to feel that grace. We give you thanks for baptism that washes us with grace. We give you thanks for communion that renews the covenant of that grace. And we give you thanks for the candles of the saints that reminds us of the promise fulfilled when this life ends and our eternal life begins. Help us to honor each of these elements. Help us to honor each of the actions that have made these possible. And help us to honor you, giving you our thanksgiving, our praise, and the fullness of our life into your hands in each of these. For this we pray, in your most holy name, amen.